are continuing our series of undivided devotion. Our heart at Point View Church is to follow Jesus together. And there are things which block our connection in following Jesus and in following together. And so there are lies that we believe. We talked about at the beginning of the year. And now we've been on this journey of disordered desires. None of these messages have been invitations of do better. None of these messages that we're in our fifth week, none of these is kind of like to beat you over the head, do better, but actually they're to free you, to see freedom in your life, that you have disordered desires. We all have disordered desires that need transformed into light. And we've been using the seven deadly sins, actually during the Lent season, about looking at vice to virtue. And so this week, I have the honor of talking about envy to encouragement. Excited? Thank you so much. I knew you came here just for this today. So would you stand for the reading of the word? We stand to honor the word of God. And our passage today is found in Ecclesiastes 4:4-6. And it reads this: "And I saw that all the toil and all the achievement springs from one person's envy of another." What a statement. "This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful of tranquility than two handful with toil and chasing after the wind." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done already this morning. Lord, we have sung of praises which shatter the walls of Jericho. We have sung of your victories, and regardless of how we're feeling this morning, God, we know that when we praise you, when we lift our eyes to the answer, our hearts are transformed. We thank you that you have been faithful to the end. Lord, we thank you that you are holy forever. Lord, that you are building your kingdom, that you are building your church. Lord, the church is victorious. Lord, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so today we gather to remind ourselves of that reality. There are many realities pulling on our minds this morning. And so, God, we want to reorder our desires. God, we want to be undivided. We want to see clearly the kingdom of God. And so right now, just with our hands out in front of us this morning, Lord, we come in the posture of need this morning. The posture that we need renewing, that we need nourishment, that we need the words of life to fill our hearts today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me preach this message. God, you would help me to bring about what you want to say to our community today. Lord, open our ears, eyes, hearts, and minds to what you have to say. May we be good hearers of the word, but may we be better doers of the word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Please be seated. The late Gore Vidal said this: "Whenever a friend succeeds, a little something in me dies." Let's let that sit in this morning, that opening statement. Let's go deep this morning. Let's just call it what it is. Whenever a friend succeeds, a little something inside of me dies. Have you ever felt that the same? They completed a test which you could not do. They made it look better than what you were able to make it look like. Your skill set that you had mustered for years and years, that you had been top dog in your friendship group, and then suddenly from the outside, this one person effortlessly just crushes anything you are able to do and look far superior to you. Have you ever found that little pain inside of your heart when someone else succeeds? Now, I know that's not this community, I get that, and it's the church down the road, I get that. But let's just hypothesize that we are those people today. And maybe you're better than that, and maybe it's actually you just didn't want people to succeed more than you. Like, you're happy with people succeeding, but actually if it elevates above you, then you maybe got a problem. maybe this is something that we all struggle with today. And so we are talking about envy, this stunning truth that we just read from Ecclesiastes. The preacher, Solomon, who was one of the wisest of all, observed culture and made this stunning statement that all of our striving, all of our movement, all of our succeeding, our drive for success is actually rooted in envy. How does that feel this morning? That actually everything you've been doing actually has an element of envy to it. I think that's incredibly compelling. None of us escape the view of this preacher. And the reality is, envy is something we all deal with. Envy is actually the least fun out of all the seven deadly sins, let's be honest. Self-indulgence, lust and gluttony, that's pretty fun. Greed, that's pretty good. Slothfulness, I love to take a rest. Anger can be pretty fun sometimes in the right section, but envy, it takes everything from you and gives you absolutely nothing. What sparks the desire to succeed and do well? The author is saying that our hearts are dominated by this envy, and it is in our church culture, it is in the world culture, it is from the beginning of time. Of where Adam and Eve were wooed by Satan to say, look what God has, you could have it too. Envy filled their hearts and wanted what God had, and so they took. The very first sin against another human was based around envy. Abel had brought the better sacrifice. Cain was mad, he was envious, so he killed his brother in envy. It's what brought Jesus to the cross. It says in Scripture in Matthew that the Pharisees envied Jesus and sent him to the cross. So envy is this action which compels all sorts of death. And let me just add to this some fridge magnets for you today to put on. These three passages, Proverbs 14:30, a heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Can we put that on our screen mirrors today? Just write it over. Rotting bones right now. 27:4 says, wrath is cruel. So last week's message on anger is pretty bad. But who can stand against jealousy? Don't be envy this morning, Pastor Craig. There is an upping almost of what the people are. We spoke about anger last week and now we have envy. And James will say this, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Welcome to church. It's good to be here with you today. It's great. We love it. And so we have something that we need to deal with today. It's poison. Envy is poison. It's worse than the fire of anger. And it is the breeding ground for every disordered desire. And it's something that we all carry. And again, today we are not saying do better, Christian. We're saying, would you like to be free today? Would you like to recognize the sin, the deadly sin, this sin that operates unbeknownst in our lives? Would you like to be free of something like this? Because I would. And even preparing for this word has been one of those beautiful redemptions a preacher just gets to enjoy before what you get to enjoy. The reality of pain that as I look at my own life and see my own brokenness, but then I see the grace of God and I can receive forgiveness and freedom. And so let's just sink our teeth a little more into envy today. Because I think it helps if we want to know what we're holding, if the Ecclesiastes, if the preacher is saying that someone with envy has two hands on toil, we need to ask ourselves, well, what are we holding on to today? What is the envy that is in our hands? What roots us into us? And the first point today, envy takes hold of our deep unrest to prove ourselves to others. Envy takes hold of our deep unrest to prove ourselves to others. Envy, by definition, resents the good or the advantage of another. Envy resents the good or the advantage of another, looking at someone or something you value in an unhealthy way. It looks at something that you value in an unhealthy way. Now, I don't care about American football. I'm sorry. A little dangerous little stab comment right there. So if you're amazing at American football, fantastic. Please go, succeed, run to the hills. You are a wonderful person. Earn as much money, be as brilliant as you want. Tell me all your stories. There is no envy inside of me whatsoever. But if real football we're talking about, you come along and maybe you're the same age as me, you're just fitter, you're better at skills than I am, and really there's low demographic. I don't have no envy in this room, I know that much. But if I had someone else come along and bring envy in, boy, would that switch change in me right then. How many keepy-ups can you do? How fast can you run? What was your position? How good are you? And I'm really not that good, to be honest. But in this arena, I suddenly have got this elevation, which is wonderful. I enjoy it. But the reality is, I envy what I value. I envy what I value. I remember 8 years old, I think 8 or 9 years old, I watched a program and the British people in the room, which we do have two wonderful British people with us today, are welcoming. And with this space, we have this show called Top of the Pops. Top of the Pops. It's this idea of, and I'm dating myself, this is pretty old, it doesn't exist anymore. But it was the shows on Sunday night that you'd be able to watch all the songs. And I saw like the music and these guitar players playing these amazing riffs. And I was like envious. I was like, I would love to do that. So at 8 years old, I start the endeavor to learn at school the good Christian chords of the GCD. And I was not very good. It took me a long time to get to a place of somewhat capability of playing. My best friend Josh, who is just one of these guys who picks something up and crushes it. And so he sees me playing and says, you know, I could probably play guitar as well. And literally, in no word of a lie, I think within like a couple of months, he was better than me. It was just one of those soul-crushing things of just seeing, Johnny's playing guitar, but have you seen Josh play guitar? And so inside of me, I just hear these words over and over again, Josh is better, Josh is. And that would set up the trajectory of the rest of our lives anyway. So Josh, if you are perhaps watching that, that is just a reality, living in the shadow of someone else. But it was because I valued something. Actually, his younger brother got even more better than both of us. And so it's just this competition. There was always going to be someone better than you. The age that we live in with live stream, I get the joy of being on social media and watching other churches be better, or in my mind, or what I think, better program, better pastor, better speaker. Like all these things start to fill my mind and envy begins to rise inside of me so quickly. The writer observes, you are full of toil and striving, and there's this energy that you deplete because of envy. There is unrest in your hearts to constantly prove yourself better. Envy wants to be envied. Envy wants to be envied. And so we share all we know to look impressive. Like if we have that secret information or that wisdom, boy, are we going to share that in a circle to one-up someone else. We wear the most amazing things. What I've also learned in marriage is that women don't dress for men, they dress for other women. Is that true? Okay, let's just call some other stuff out in the room today. So that nice outfit was not for you. It was actually for the other women in the room. And I often wonder, okay, so I know the clothes thing, but I don't want us to be honest in the room, but just something to reflect on. Something I think, is cooking the new clothing? Because, right, it was just my hypothesis, and thank you very much for the validation. Because when I see the gluten-free, sugar-free, refined sugar, whatever, like free I've made from my garden, all this wonderful collection of like, and it's just like, or like, you know, effortlessly did this and presented well, curated, you know, well. I just wonder if that's the new clothing, right? To one-up your friend, that Pinterest idea that you didn't nail it, but you actually did it. I don't know if you've seen the memes, nailed it. It's like a poor imitation of the Pinterest idea, right? It's like, no, you succeeded where your friend failed and you try harder and harder. And so we want to be envied. We actually post from the beach because we want the envy of other people, amen? Quiet, I know you agree, but it's okay. Wealth, when we think about our wages or how much we earn, we're quite comfortable with it, and then we hear someone who's in the same role earning more than us. Your heart does not fill you with joy and blessing the other person, right? Suddenly it's like, what can I do to earn a bit more so I'm like that person? So wealth, when we hear that, the outward appearance, the gym and the action that we do, was it because we want to be like someone else or we want to be better than someone else? So we dress to appease other people. Envy is exhausting. And I would wonder how many goals do we have because it was sparked by envy? How many things are we overstretching in life because envy is driving for something that you weren't even meant to operate in? So it leads me to my second point. Envy takes hold of our desire to be like another. After feeling defeated in your not-so-successful moment, you then begin to look at other people. What else could I be good at that no one else is good at? This happens in the church quite a lot because we actually celebrate different things more, not intentionally, but we just naturally do, for those who have more spiritual gifts. Maybe those people who are speaking, who have those amazing prayers. Like, you've ever been in that circle of like a small group and we're talking about scripture and that one person just drops the wisdom bomb. And it changes people's hearts. People start crying and they're just like, thank you so much for that wisdom. And you're over here with the gift of hospitality. Was my apple pie not life-changing? Was the environment that I just put on for you not life-changing? And so we have this reality, or maybe in the workplace, right? You've got that work colleague, and they bring like the goals, they bring all the things that get you over the line that win the day, and you're stuck with the Excel spreadsheets. You're the one plugging in all the data faithfully. It wouldn't have happened if you didn't put the administration work in, but it's just not celebrated. And so you begin to question, well, should I even go after this? You envy what you are not. And you begin to overstretch yourself. Envy takes the desire and tries to manipulate you into believing not only you're not good enough, well, that you're not doing enough, but also you're not being enough. So shame takes hold within us that I am not good enough. I'm not good enough. And it prevents you, the gift, coming into the world. It prevents the uniqueness. Now, thank God we're not all trying to be like me, right? Like, how messed up would this church be? Like, this is the pinnacle of what we should be as a Christian, right? That all of us in this room understand and know that each of you are a gift. Each of you bring something valuable to this community. And so my encouragement is don't look to the other. Don't let the reducing of who you are because you're not being celebrated like you want to be deter who God has called you to be. Each person is valuable. But if we don't resolve this issue, envy just takes us on to another step, which is envy takes hold of our unbelief in God's goodness. Eventually, the reality is that it tires us out, it celebrates the wrong things, it makes us the wrong person, and it pulls us to this place of just, is God even good? Envy looks for what God hasn't given me. How many times have you prayed that prayer? I wish I was like. I wish I had. Then I would be happy. Why didn't you give me the ability of a good family, money, intelligence, good looks? God, what if I had these things? I would be able to do what you called me to do. Maybe this thought of I deserve it. God, you're withholding from me. I'm lacking. And so God becomes the problem. God becomes the enemy to your flourishment. I don't have, so I cannot trust him. And we push God out of our lives. I think it's another reason why we are so self-sufficient. Abby said it in the prayer room that the culture we've been bathed in is comparison. We have been people that compare, constantly being taught through social media, compare yourself, compare yourself, compare yourself. And so we've tried, instead of having open hands, we take tight-fistedly and we say, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to be like that. Even though it's not part of your design, you determine that I'm going to take hold. I'm going to work myself to the bone, tire myself out to be like that, and we live lives of white knuckle fists. We become small. We become needy. We become people who don't understand the generosity of God because God is the giver of good gifts and we strive. And so I'd say envy is one of the reasons why we suffer with self-sufficiency and control, because we do not trust God. We push God out. And so I want you just today, let's just take our hands out today and just grip a really tight fist and hold it there for a moment. We want to be free, right? Like, I want to be free. And as I went through those three programs, what spoke to you most? Are you tired because you're burning yourself out with envy? Are you living in the shadow of someone else's design that you were never called to be in? Or three, are you angry at God for not giving you what you've really wanted? And just feel that pain in your hands right now. Because that's the kind of work that envy is doing to you. It's holding you back. It's making you small. And so let's just release our hands this morning. Just that release that we want to find and freedom that we want to come into. So Holy Spirit, what are we holding on to today? We want to repent. We want to open our hands. We want to do a 180. We've been holding our fists tight, and repentance is to say that I let go of my self-sufficiency, and God, I come to receive your plan for me today. What would it look like from a place of contentment, not competition, for the good in our world today? What if we didn't need to take, but we could receive today? How would you live if you had everything you ever needed? Because that's the gospel reality. Right now, you have everything you've ever needed. And so let's turn in your Bibles to Titus. We're going to land here today. This will be our passage for the remainder of our time together. One of the best synopsis, I believe, of the gospel. I love it. It's real shorthanded. Paul is writing to Titus, a follower of Jesus. He followed on his travels, and Titus lives in Crete. Crete is a very evil place. It's a harbor of many of the ships that will travel through, and so it has a culture much of Las Vegas kind of style. Like, anything goes. And this church is still going, and Paul is writing an encouragement to the people of Crete and the people that Titus is leading. And Paul in this moment sets out what we kind of live in, the reality of what we've been speaking about. He starts with this: "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice, envy, hatred of others, hating one another." This is what we're talking. This is why we're talking about the desires that we have in our hearts, because ultimately all the disordered desires lead us to hate other people. And that will not enable us to follow Jesus together. It will not enable the renewal of kingdom of God here on earth. And so we want to be people with open hands and love. But I love this opening line: "For we ourselves were once foolish." Can we take a breath today, knowing that Paul, the apostle writer, one of the most prolific writers in the New Testament, is saying, "I too struggle with these things." All of us in this room today, we struggle with this reality as well. And as we carry on, he doesn't want to just leave us in this space of false woe is me kind of reality. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we try and solve envy by false humility. "Well, I'm not a very good person, yada, yada, you know, I deprave myself, I lower myself." And Paul doesn't want to hinge ourselves on our brokenness. No, he wants to hinge us on grace. My point I want to make from this passage today: we must take hold of grace. If we want to be people who let go of something, we have got to take hold of something else. A lot of us try to be less envious, but we never take hold of a true reality. And so this is what Paul knows. Paul knows that he's about to teach these guys the gospel. If we want to overcome something, don't try harder. Believe in something truer. Take hold of something better. So I love these words that Paul starts with: "But." And it's a beautiful but. It's a big but. It is "but, however." When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Paul wants to attach us to grace. Paul came not to tell them the justice of God that will pursue you forever, but that you have a pursuing love from God that will not let you go. Our Savior appeared. This is good news today. Our Savior appeared in the deepest, darkest moment, and we are not safe from the grace of God. The grace of God will go into the deepest, darkest places, into the unknown, small environments, into the poorest places God moves. This grace moved into the poorest places. It touched the lepers. It touched the broken and far away. And the ones who were in sin, who could not be touched, were touched and transformed radically. There was night and day difference between the touch of Jesus and their life prior. But this grace kept on going. It suffered in complete depravity of hate of humanity, the worst form of crucifixion, of destruction on another human that was bent on suffering for as long as possible, suffocating a person for as long as possible till they died. That the very people that he came for began to abuse him. And what he did was, I forgive them. Grace came into that moment and said, I forgive. It didn't judge. It met us. It sat quietly in that space and received and felt everything that we would ever feel and forgave. And this is the reality of what we need to hold on to. There, Paul didn't want to give a list of instructions on how to do better. He gave the gospel. He gave a truer reality. And so for us to take hold of grace, if we want to defeat envy, Paul is saying to us, I want you to realign what you value. If you take hold of grace, you are saying, I am revaluing what I believe is worthy and good. Envy is that outward comparison of our own self-determination of what is good and evil. That's what envy does. And Paul gives us the message of grace and says, if you want to let go of those old things, because that's not who you are, as a follower of Jesus, now you have been redeemed. As he carries on saying, the Holy Spirit, you have the renewal of the Holy Spirit who has richly given new life to you. You're not the old person anymore. You don't need to be trapped in envy anymore. You don't need to be. It's a lie. It's a false chain. And he says, value salvation. Value the work of the cross. Value what God has done in your life. In a previous part, he'll say, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. For now, Christian, we have the ability to overcome the things that ensnare us because of the gospel. Because we need to value a truer story. That when I feel the comparison of someone else who is doing it better, when I want what they want, when I've not seen their behind-the-scenes story, I've only seen their curated Instagram story, but I want it, that I can say to my heart, but I have a truer value. My salvation in Jesus. The grace of God that has seen me in my brokenness and loved me, to know that I can never be more loved than I ever have. I can never lose that love. And I know in the room that we're just saying, yeah, I get it. I get it. But why do I keep falling back into this trap? And I think it's the last line in verse 8 that really does it for me. The saying is true and trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. This is the reality. If we are to take hold of grace, grace needs to become a practice of outworking. The economy of the kingdom of God is about giving out. Anytime we withhold, that is not how the economy or the kingdom of God works. We've got people to be, if we want to hold on to grace, it's that weird thing, we hold on with open hands. If we practice, and the practice I want us to delve into today, if we want to take hold to give out, we need the practice of encouragement. We want to outdo others by showing honor. As I said, the economy of the kingdom works by giving out. It keeps our hands from tightening. I love that gratitude cannot operate in envy. The two cannot hold in the same space. And so for grace to truly operate through us, it must flow through us. Grace is an open-handed invitation that I take hold of, but I actively release as well. It's a receiving and a giving. And it is counter-cultural. When you feel that envy come over your heart of someone who has more money than you, looks better, has more wisdom, performs better than you than anything else, rather than falling into the trap of the lack that you feel, you remind yourself of the greatest value and gift that you have been saved, that you have been saved for a present reality right now of transformation, that you can experience the fullness of God and love as you give out and encourage one another. Paul will say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 and 10, he says, outdo. This is the sign of being a true Christian. Outdo one another, loving one another. What would it look like for us as Point View Church to say, God, I know that you've given me all things, and I want to create a culture of encouragement here in this place. This week, as we practice the practice of encouragement, I want to challenge you for at least once a day. And if you want to do more, go to the hills, right? Be an encouragement to everyone. But texting or calling or meeting up with someone each day this week and actually choosing, especially those ones that you're envious of. So we're about to go into a ministry time. I'd like to invite the worship team up as we close today. But I want you to bring to mind who is that one person. And you'd be amazed at what the Holy Spirit can do in this moment. So let's just close our eyes, just our hands open out today before him. What is that thing that I am so envious of? What is that thing that is holding me so tightly right now? What is that one thing that is capturing me right now? At this, we watched Narnia, the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and that amazing moment where Aslan comes in at the end. These people that have been trapped by the witch, and they're caught as statues. They cannot move, they're frozen. And that amazing moment when Aslan breathes over them, and then they're restored and softened back to who they're called to be. This is the action that we want today. We want to be free. We want to receive the breath. We want to receive the grace of God that loves us so deeply. We want to make that the value over feeling the lack. Because the Father desires for you to be free. He weeps over you as you live in, we all lived in chains. For me as a pastor, my reality of comparison of church and other people's churches. We're called as Point View Church to be a unifier of other churches. But if I operate in envy and see ourselves as only of people of lack, that will stunt me in the operating of my gifting. It'll stop me from celebrating others around me, inviting people who are better than me. Because that's the beautiful thing about encouragement. We need to encourage one another. I cannot do my mission alone. We need to bring courage to other people. As Pascal says, kind words don't cost much, yet they accomplish much. So who is that one thing, that person, that thing that is you have been struggling with? And maybe it's only just come to reality. It's only just come to the surface right now. That you are tired because you're trying to achieve because of envy. Are you not even operating who you are called to be because of envy? You think this is success. Your mother or father shined success on this attribute and you've been envious of other people operating. You've been striving to make that happen your entire life. God says, I want to release you today from that. I want to release you from the burden of operating in false identity today. Maybe today you're angry at God. Maybe you're angry at what you feel like he's not given. But you've been so tight-fisted, you've not realized all the gifts that are actually around you. And so as part of encouragement, it requires you to think of others well. But actually, it also requires for you to encourage yourself today. So I would also equally challenge us this week, what encouraging words can you bring to yourself as well? Are you self-sufficient only on people encouraging you? Do you have a reservoir of God's word of encouragement for you daily? Do you have the words of the Father over you today? We're about to sing a song, Lean Back, it's called. And Joe in the prayer room pointed out just this beautiful truth that it's lean back, and it's this picture of a deep breath that is to be taken, a deep breath. For many of us, we are quick in breath. We're fast-paced breath. We're breathing really quickly. And God is saying, I want you to take a deep breath in the identity and grace. I want you to take hold of a truer story. You have all you need right now because of grace. He has redeemed you. He has restored you. He is working things new in and through your life today. You are not deficient. That's a word for you today. You are not deficient. You are not lacking. You have everything you need for today. God is your source. God is the bread of life. So as we sing this song, again, this front area is an invitation for you to come forward. And by declaring, we say, when we come forward to receive ministry, we're saying, God, I want to live differently. I want to step out of the uncomfortability of lack that I feel. I want to be free today. So stepping out, look, there'll be someone that will come alongside you and just pray a blessing over you. But we don't do this alone, amen? Like envy is shame that holds control over you, that stops you living into the fulfillment. And so you stepping forward is breaking that shame. Because envy is a sticky one that we don't really want to talk about. Anger problems, yeah, we can all kind of like celebrate and announce that. But envy makes us look weak, makes us look unable to do the things that we need to do. So it's a challenge for us to step out. If you today feel the tug of the Holy Spirit that you want to be free from, I encourage you, we're just going to lower the lights and just let this moment be a holy moment between you and the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, let's just stand this morning. Holy Spirit, we come to you today. Lord, hearing the words of life, hearing these words that you have sent your goodness, that you have brought about redemption in our lives. Can I read this again over you? But it is the goodness, the loving kindness of God. Our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of the works done, but by in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that us being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. His goodness, his mercy, his outpouring, his gift to us, God, we receive, we lean back into the all-sufficient one today. Lord, we say striving cease in Jesus' name. We declare freedom over your people today. Lord, we want an undivided devotion of encouragement to stop living in lack, but be an encouragement to others and those around us. Lord Jesus, we receive this today. In Jesus' name, amen.